Hello everyone and welcome to This Moment Here. My name is Lisari Sarema and I am the host of the LSD podcast. And This Moment Here is a segment of the podcast where I talk about my learnings and... what is it? It's been a minute since I last recorded, so give me some time to get my footing, you know? A segment of the podcast where I commit to staying in the moment by sharing my thoughts and learnings as they are happening. And more recently, I've realized that it's also just like a combination of things that I've heard that resonate, things that I've read that resonate, more especially in terms of faith, because I am Christian. It's just my walk with the Lord and how it's changing me and renewing my mind each and every day, you know. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I don't know that I know what I'm about to talk about right now, but I know that for a while I have been in the throes of, I want to call it fear, I want to call it inadequacy, I want to call it, I don't know what it is exactly, but I know that I have been forced to come to a jolt, as I do very often with like content creation, because a lot of what I speak on, a lot of what I do, like YouTube videos and like podcast episodes, is based on what I'm going through. I spoke in a recent YouTube video that like I'm committed to truth right now. I'm committed to being honest, and that looks like just a mess sometimes, because sometimes I'm just confused and I don't know what's happening. So I don't know that I have a fixed topic for the episode. I trust and believe that it will be revealed to me as we keep going, but that's the thing, we gotta keep going. Ha! We gotta keep swimming, we gotta keep going. And I think the enemy was trying to get me to like stop completely, which is not what God intends, I don't believe. And that's the thing, like I'm working towards like being able to discern God's voice versus like fear versus like things that are stopping me from glorifying him and stuff like that. But yeah, we're just gonna have a chat. I'm recording this after Valentine's Day, and because it's like what, in the season of loving and like love is in the air and stuff, I wanted to speak about singleness. I wanted to speak about a lot of things. I wanted to speak about singleness. I would like to also speak about, let's start with singleness, because I think it'll help expand into all the other topics that I would like to get into, if I don't forget, in Jesus' name, please. Let's just pray also quickly, real quick. I prayed before, but I feel like I should pray as well now. Heavenly Father, I come into your presence with so much thanksgiving in my heart. I'm grateful for the people who are listening. I pray that you touch their hearts. I pray that you open their hearts to be able to receive this message. I pray that you speak through me and your light shines through this episode, Heavenly Father, and many more to come. Lord, I pray that it brings people closer to you. It brings people closer to you. Glorifying you and glorifying your name and walking with the Holy Spirit by that side within them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you give me the words, give me the pace, let you speak, be the engine that drives this whole thing, this whole system. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, because I know that your will has been done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It was recently Valentine's Day, and I would like to speak about singleness because it's something that I'm encountering right now. I was talking to my sister the other day, and I was telling her, I am now at a place in my life where I can appreciate this season of singleness. Like, I see why it's happening, and I'm so grateful that it's happening. And she was like, what? Why? That's so weird. Not that so weird, but like, that's such a new perspective. Like, I don't think it's something that I've mentioned out loud or even just thought, you know, in a long time, maybe, or ever. But yeah, I said that because I think previously, if I had had a partner during like 2-3 years ago, I don't want to put a time on it. I think I don't know that I know when I came to this conclusion, but I'm rambling a little bit, but yeah, I think if in the past I had a partner, they would have been my whole world. Like, they would have been my lifeline in a way that is really unhealthy. And I don't know that in the past I would have seen that as unhealthy, or I would have acknowledged that it's unhealthy enough to change it or anything like that. But I just know that I'm grateful for not having a partner for as long as I've had, because now I know, like, like, God was trying to save me from having someone be my everything. And that's the thing. I don't think, now I've learned that someone shouldn't be your everything. And I'm struggling to speak a little bit because this is a really personal thing. It's also like, I don't think it's something I've said aloud, but even when I explained it to my sister, which was the first time I ever said it out loud, there was that pushback. Pushback only because I was struggling to have someone, like, invite someone into that space of thought, into that frame of thought, and like, it feels like undressing. It feels like just like laying bare your emotions, inadequacies, your thought processes, your deep assessments of yourself, and being like, okay, judge me. So I think that's why it's really like, when I speak about it, I'm like breaking down a little bit, because I don't know, like, it feels bare. And I pray that the Lord protects me in this moment, be my covering, okay, because this is scary. But I can only hope that whoever's listening to this can resonate and can take something away from this. And if at all you have some knowledge, baby, please sound off in my DMs, okay? But yeah, I think for a long time I felt like a romantic partner should save me, or should be my saving grace, should be like my everything, should fill up all of the empty spaces I have inside, and just save me. And going through this journey with God and realizing that even I can't save anyone. Oof, there's something that I wrote, and I want to read it out the way that I said it, because I think the way I wrote it down was like perfect. Give me a second. Yeah, I said, I realized that I can't save people because I can't even save myself. Guys, do you know? This was a tough realization, but I think also it took a weight off my shoulders, like realizing that even I can't help myself, even I can't save myself, even obviously there's things that you need to do, like your trauma, your issues are your responsibility and stuff like that, but you can't do it in your own strength. You see, everything is possible, anything is possible through Christ who strengthens you, okay? Yeah, I realized that I can't save people because I can't even save myself. I'm out of breath. Hold on. Surrendering to God has put into perspective how weak I am and how impossible things are without God. So how can I expect to go in and help people? Only He can. and so all I can do is pray for them and love them from a distance. It's also so unfair not to let them learn for themselves. Hindsight is such a blessing, and they need to arrive to that on their own. Obviously, this is coming from the perspective of like me attempting or realizing that I can't save someone else. But in the past, like I said, I felt like I needed a boyfriend to save me. And that's just like how it's also coming, like, I don't know how to explain this, but like, it's made it evident to me how important every single thing I've gone through is, and just how amazing of an artist, amazing of a creator, curator God is, because of the way that like a lot of my, I will call them downfalls, quote unquote, or moments where I felt weak and shame and inadequate, and the list goes on, are also moments where I think I learned my greatest lessons, and so brought about the greatest changes in my life. And that's just one of the ways that like God is renewing my mind and like changing my life and like making me into the person He has created me to be. And it's just like goosebumps, mates. Like, I don't, if I begin to try and understand it, I think that's when it loses its, I don't know, like, but yeah, I realize I don't need to save people, because I can't, actually, it's impossible. It's impossible, and I shouldn't even try. But even with that being said, I think in moments where you want to save someone else, you probably identify something in that person that you should attend to within yourself. You know, if you're thinking, oh my gosh, this person like drinks so much, and I need to tell them to stop, I need to make sure they feel loved and not seek love at the bottom of that bottle of wine and like seek approval from these strangers in the club, maybe you need to assess, like, you need to look deep within yourself. Am I doing these things as well, or have I done these things as well in the past? Have I healed from these moments in my life as well? Am I trying to am I looking for a project to take attention away from the issues I need to deal with? You know, sometimes we're just procrastinating issues that we need to tend to within ourselves, and like labeling it as like, oh, I'm just trying to save someone, I just love this person so much and I want to make sure they're good. But you're just like, this is just an act of procrastination, babe. This is just like you trying to focus on something external when you need to work within, you know. And I realize now how people when I was younger, I used to hear a lot that like, the love you want to give to someone else, you should give to yourself. That's valid. That is facts. We want to give love to people quicker than we're willing to give that love to ourselves. And I think there's something to be said about that. And I don't know, like, I don't know that I've come to the conclusion fully on why that happens. I think, if I think about it deeply right now, I think it's a little about self-preservation, among many things, because I was talking to someone, for the sake of their privacy, I'm not gonna mention who, but I don't talk to that many people, so if you know who you are, I'm sorry if you don't want this out on the internet, but no one knows who you are but me. Okay. I was talking to someone recently and they were saying they don't attend, sometimes they don't attend staff meetings with themselves because they know the outcome of that conversation, so they want to avoid it altogether. And I think a lot of that is just like, you know the outcome will probably bring certain negative emotions, so you're not attending the staff meeting. So in order to like preserve your own emotions, in order to like protect yourself, quote unquote, even though this is the opposite of protection, low-key, you take on this external project and like try and fix someone else, which, like I said, is I feel like is the opposite of protecting yourself, because then it means you keep encountering the same problem. Guys, do you like, are you this person? If you are, raise your hand. I'm raising my hand right now because it's me. Obviously in certain moments, I think I'm learning, I need to give credit to myself, you know, get credit is due or whatever. I am like changing, and God is changing me, actually. So I believe I'm learning from a lot of my own mistakes. Yeah, I think I definitely am grateful for my season of singlehood, like I said, because for one, I now don't put people on pedestals as much, because I know that they can't save me. Only God can save me, and I can't save them. I think it's given me the space to connect with God on a more deeper level, which has allowed for pruning to occur. Whew, baby. I realize now, not just now in this moment, but like in my life recently, that I am a horrible human being where God is not involved. Hey, whoa. If there's a day I wake up and I don't put on the full armor of God, which is like pray and read the Bible and put on like list all the things I'm grateful for, I am a horrible human. Like, don't talk to me on that day, because but I'm grateful for the connection that I've fostered with God, because I don't know that I would have that connection if I was in a relationship. And also, I don't know that I would have been able to choose the right partner, because I think being single has also, like, for one, yes, helped me get to know God, but also get to know myself and understand my wants and needs and like my requirements and things that are non-negotiables for me. And it's not enough, guys. I wish I knew this before, but I'm glad I know it now, that it's not enough to know your non-negotiables. You have to also be able to be unshakable. You have to be able to like put up, not barriers, what's the word, you guys know the word, what's the boundaries, be able to set a boundary and like stand firm in it. I think in the past I probably knew my non-negotiables, but I would negotiate with terrorists. And I think that comes with like the fruits of the spirit. Hold on, I want to throw a Bible verse in there. Yeah. Galatians 5 verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And every day it's just a journey to like, to get these fruits of the spirit, but also I think in waiting for the Lord, because that's what I believe seasons of singleness are about, among many other things. It's just like, if at all you are praying for a partner and you want to be in a relationship and you feel like you're called to marriage or whatever, because people are called to marriage, by the way. Not everyone is meant to be married. Ha! Did you guys know that? I don't have a voice for it, I'm sorry, but like, read the Bible for yourself. People are called to marriage, but I believe the purpose of a season of singleness is for God to exercise the fruits of the Spirit within you, because like, it teaches you patience, it teaches you to have joy in all circumstances, which means like, even if you're going through the biggest battle of your life, even if you're grieving the deepest loss, you have to be joyful. And that comes with exercising, that comes with like, within the waiting season, practicing these things. And yeah, I believe that's really all that it's about. I think it's also teaching me how to love, how to be kind, how to love your neighbor, how to pray for your enemies, pray for people that have forsaken you, and just like, tune your heart to God's frequency and be more like Jesus. And it's hard, I don't want to lie to you. They never said it was easy. But I believe when you keep seeking the Lord and you keep asking for strength, He will supply it. So yeah, I think that's a lot of what my season of singleness has entailed and probably will continue to entail. And in this moment, I'm just trusting, you know? I'm like, I think this is the first time in my life, I don't want to lie to you, that I'm like, even if it doesn't happen, even if I don't get a boyfriend, I'll actually be grand, because I have the big man upstairs. I have a heavenly father, and it's been a beautiful journey walking with the Lord. And I believe that, like, I mean, I don't know everything, but I believe that that's the heart posture that God is working to perfect in me, so that when I do have a partner, it's like, I hope you know that God is first in my life. Okay, you are number two, if you're lucky, because I have a big family, and I love them so much. And also, like, it has helped me to foster many other relationships outside of romantic connections. I have friends now. And I'm like, God is teaching me how to love my friends, and how to have disagreements, and how to have like seasons where we don't speak for a long time, and continue to hold space for them, and them continue to hold space for me, and like, navigate forgiveness and navigate just like all of it has been, I feel like demanding is the wrong word, but I'm gonna use demanding, and like has been seeking my attention and like, intentionality so deeply that I don't know that a partner in this space of my life would be a good idea. And that's why I'm just great. I'm like, God, of course I'm single. What? There's so much going on. There's a lot going on. But also, like, there's a verse about how, like, a man that finds a wife finds a good thing. I don't know what the, you guys can search it, because I don't know where exactly in the Bible it is, but like, a man that finds a good wife finds a good thing. And key word, by the way, that stuck out for me is finds. A man that finds a wife. Which means, what do I have to do? Just vibe. Because honestly, like, think about it. When something is found, what is it doing? It's just resting. It's just like laying there in open, like in plain sight, waiting to be found. And I don't mean that I'm just bumming and like not doing anything and waiting for a man to come and find me. Obviously, I'm like seeking God, fostering a deep connection with God. He is my covering in this moment. I'm waiting for a man to be my covering. But trust and believe, I'm not just vibing, but I am your vibing. So yeah, this has been, I guess this is the title of the episode, singlehood, or like my season of singlehood. And it's been amazing. Don't get it twisted, it's been hard a little bit. I'm like, whoa, will it come? But that's like a part of exercising patience, and I'm grateful for it. So yeah, thank you guys for joining me in this moment here. I will catch you on the next one. Bye.